Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Wow, 58 facts, Steve. Believe it or not, 58 facts. These were all compiled by Michael Snyder. But you know, we've been talking on this program for quite a while. Some of the prophetic words that God has shared with us, given us in night visions, regarding a collapse in the economy of some sort. I mean, we just know that it's going to go down. What it looks like and what, you know, we really don't have those type of details. But God's spoken these things to other people as well. I mean, you know, the Shemitah with Jonathan Kahn and Vic Joyner and others. But we're getting to that point where it's, you know, as one person said, it's getting scarier and scarier regarding things that are happening. And we're not supposed to be scared, right? We're operate under the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and we can choose to you know, flourish in God's economy. And God has an economy. But, I mean, if you're not participating in God's economy, then, yeah, you maybe you need to be scared, you know. But you can repent. But we're going to be sharing, in fact, CNN Money, Steve, just put out five countries with the worst economies. Starting with Argentina, they're down 34% against the dollar. And remember, we've talked about a strategy that North Korea, Russia, and China, prophetically, and it seems it's, they already are implementing to devalue the American dollar. But we're seeing these countries right now, it's still pretty strong. But Argentina, 34% down.
Well,
it's huge.
It's amazing that you're saying that very reality of what's going on, because as we're talking about the oil and we're talking about what's going on globally, it's because the whole world, you know, we've talked about it before on this program, is that if they want to buy oil, they have to basically transfer their currency to American currency in order to purchase oil. So people are tired of having to base their currency, their economy, off of the American dollar. And you're seeing this now, how so many currencies are crumbling.
They're crumbling. They're going down. Brazil down 33%. The South African rand is down 26%. Turkey, the Turkish lira, I believe, it's down 20%. And the Russian ruble is down 17%. Remember that I think it was 50% of Russia's budget, 50% of their budget was based upon oil selling at $100 a barrel. It's now under $40 a barrel. So, you know, when these nations don't have resources, believe me, they're going to get resources. They're going to do all kinds of things to get it, and not to mention war. But Michael Snyder has put together 58 facts. We are not going to be discussing all 58, but we do want to share some of them. And we want to talk about some of them as they're really just, I mean, startling facts as regards to what is happening. See, the first thing he says is that these days, most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, and at this point, 62% of all Americans have less than $1,000 in their savings account, and 21% of all Americans do not have a savings account at all. Think about that.
Wow.
62% have less than $1,000, and 21% have no savings at all in their bank or anywhere else.
Yeah. You know, when you think about this, and you're hearing, when you look at our culture right now, as a pair, after like compare like the Great Depression, there was such an awareness of savings. Where now it's that, you know, you only live once, live for the day, just incur debt. You know,
someone just told me that yesterday. Said, yeah, they want to spend it all.
and it's like the no interest payments, live now, get the luxuries and lavish. And it's like you're seeing that massive impact upon.
Well, here's
that
the
thinking.
Second one: the lack of savings is especially dramatic when you look at the Americans under the age of 55 now. Incredibly, fewer than 10% of all millennials and only 16% of Generation X have $10,000 or more saved up. This is supposed to be a generation that should have resources and should have things saved up and certainly passed down from the greatest generation, the baby boomers, certainly have passed down some of that wealth. But for some reason, Generation X does not have any of it. Now, here's number three. It's been estimated that 43% of all American households spend more money than they make each month.
43%.
43% of all American households spend more money than they make each month, which means
credit cards.
They're just not living paycheck to paycheck, but they're living on credit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever remember seeing that that commercial. There was a man riding on a lawnmower. I think it was for Landing Tree or something. He's riding on a lawnmower, and he says,
"Got all these nice things.
We have houses. We have cars. We have two boats. We have gone on vacations." And starts listing all these things. And he says, "And how do I afford this?" He goes, "I'm up to debt in my eyeballs," right. You know. And this is what we've become now, a debtor nation. And we have a lot of folks in our country that just enormous amount of debt. And when you break that down even some more, it says, for the first time, middle-class Americans now make up a minority of the population. But back in 1971, 60% of all Americans lived in middle-class households. So we see that the economy is shrinking over and over a period of time. This is according to the Pew Research Center. They also found that the median wealth for middle-class household dropped by an astounding 28% from 2001 to 2013. Now, remember that we had the financial crisis back in end of 2007, beginning of 2008. But between 2001 and 2013, 28% of the middle class's wealth is completely evaporated.
Wow.
Here's another one. There are still, Steve, 900,000 fewer middle-class jobs in America than they were when the last recession began. But our population has gotten significantly larger than that time. 900,000 less jobs. And it's only been 8 years. 800,000 jobs. 900,000 jobs.
We've talked about it before where you've had, I think it was the Cloward-Piven strategy where they're trying to basically overload the system. And when they tried to do it before, they found out that the fact that there were too many people in the middle class, that it was too much of a stable class that they just couldn't do it. And when you're seeing with these statistics, is like
eroding
quickly.
Yeah. According to the Social Security Administration, 51% of all American workers make less than $30,000. 51%. Here's another interesting one. A recent nationwide survey discovered that 48% of U.S. adults under the age of 30 believe that the American dream is dead. 48%.
Wow.
Believe that the American dream is dead. And you know what? That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as believers, we need to be looking at God's dream. You know, we're making so much this life, this world. We're trying to be too comfortable here. And the idea is that, you know what? We don't need to be comfortable here. We are just passing through. That as believers, we're dual citizens. We're citizens of heaven.
Yeah.
And we're citizens here in America. If you live in America, if you live in another country, you're a citizen of that country. But we're just passing through. And I think so many times we fall into a temptation to try to feel so comfortable here that we don't spend our resources, our time, our energy, our skill sets, our talents for the kingdom that we're about to inherit. You know, we're taking all this time to do it here. Steve, listen to this one here. For each of the past 6 years, more businesses have closed in the United States than have opened. Listen to this. Prior to 2008, this had never happened before in U.S. history. Think about this. For the past 6 years, more businesses have closed in the United States than have opened since prior to 2008. And you think about it, small businesses are the backbone of our nation, you know, because they employ so many people. Most people today are employed by small businesses, not big corporations. But thank God that we have a country where a small business owner can flourish and you can actually one day become a large business like Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about what Apple has been able to do in the last 8 years. Understand that the first iPhone was introduced 8 years ago. And with this simple technology,
it didn't just
change the phone. It actually changed our whole lifestyle. The way you talk on the phone, the way you listen to music, the way you watch movies, the way you interact, the way you shop.
Yeah.
I mean, with all these apps and all these developments. But think about it. That was a business that started out in a garage, right? It was Steve Jobs started with a friend in the garage. It actually grew into something that was monstrous. In fact, they say that Apple is worth more than all of Russia's stock market combined, just Apple alone. And so it goes to show you that, wow, what trajectory, where are we? It says this, if you believe it or not, the 20 wealthiest people in this country now have more money than the poorest 152 million Americans. And so you're seeing that there's this disparity of wealth. The wealth is shrinking, it's going away, and are we on the verge of a tipping point? And we got to start asking the question, why is this happening? And for us as believers, think about this. According to George Barna, 97% of the church is not even tithing. They're robbing from God. Only 3% of the church is actually tithing, which means they're giving honor to the Lord. Listen, we want to make sure that we're participating in God's economy, because no matter what's happening in the world, if you are faithful, if I know anything, right, and I don't know much, but if you're faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. It's true. It's his word. It's proof. He does it. And so you don't want to be a robber of God. Listen, if you rob God, Book of Malachi tells us that you're under a curse. You don't want to be under a curse. You want to live under open heaven. And one of the ways is by giving to the Lord what belongs to God. I want to bring back to you a Connect the Dots segment in which we talked about this program. We entitled it, Have You Made Money Your God? Think about it. This is a question to ask yourself, because Jesus clearly told us you can't serve God and money. You can't serve them both. You got to choose. And what does Jesus have to say about money? Watch this.
God says, honor me this. Give me the first fruits and see that I won't open up the floodgates of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You see, it's not your tool, your techniques and your skills. It's not your skills that are making things happen. God's blessing your skills and blessing the work of your hands. And so he's the one that gives man the ability to get wealth. Mm-hmm. And so, it's not only just, honoring God is what he said do. It's also understanding that's why we're saying to God, I acknowledge that you're the one who provides for me. So it's more than just some sort of, it definitely ain't a tip, and it's not just being a good son versus a bad son. It's understanding that you're honoring God context of that. He says, if I am your father, where is my honor? Honor? What are you talking about? Why are you robbing me? Robbing you? Why are we robbing you? That's what he said. This is God's conversation with his people. He says, you're robbing me in tithes and offerings. And the reason for this now, the consequence of this is now your whole nation is under a curse.
Yeah.
So, don't let anybody convince you and think, God's wisdom frustrates the intellect of the intelligence. So the intelligence of the intellect. So understand that they don't have to figure this out. You just have to know by faith that it's God that created the universe, and it is God who gives the ability to get wealth. And the reason why you have is because you're being faithful, or God's just being merciful.
That's right.
It's not because you figured it all out, because God can actually touch us where we couldn't even tie our shoes.
That's right.
And I say this because according to George Barna, 97% of regular church attenders, according to Barna Group, it says that they don't honor God in tithes and offerings. But how many people? I mean, this is not what we're even talking about. This is what we're talking about. How many people are calling this man up, talking about their money, and they're calling Susan, whoever, and talking about how to do my money. I was like, Jiminy crickets, but 80% of these guys, according to Barna Group, are not even picking up their Bibles at all. And 81% not even picking up their Bibles at all. And out of the 19% that is picking it up, they're not reading it to find out what God says about money. Only 3% are. And it's like, what are we doing? And why is money so relevant? This is what Jesus said. He said in Matthew chapter 6, he says, I believe it's 6, you cannot serve God and money. And so you got, when your whole conversation is about money and it's not about God, money's your God. What do you do with that? You repent and say, dear Lord, I made what you gave me my God, instead of acknowledging that you are God and you're the one that entrusted me with this. And I'm going to make you God. Forgive me for the idolatry in my life. Forgive me for making money God. And he says, this is how you know that if you made money your God, because you're going to be divided between the two. You're going to be miserable in both places, and if anybody ever tells you why they're in the presence of God and why the word of God's going forth and worship's going forth, they're looking at their watch, finding out, I got to go to work. You've made money your God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? I mean, think about that. In the presence of God, imagine being in the throne room of God. The angels are singing, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
And you're not joining in, first of all. Secondly, your mind is somewhere it shouldn't be because he knows the thoughts that are on our mind. And finally, you actually take your eyes and look down at your watch to see that you need to go get a job and make money, which he blesses the work of your hands. I mean, how offensive is that? And then 97% to rob him? This is why the whole nation is under a curse, he said in Malachi.
All the while being in a delusional state, thinking that you can pray to a God to enter a prayer while at the same time you're robbing him.
Right.
How does that work?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I would just say God's right. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth.
That's right.
And trust God with your finances. By the way, trust him while you can with your finances. This is what Jesus said. There was this particular man that he found out he was going to be fired. He wasn't going to have a job. His boss was mad at him. And when he found this out, he was a person that was over the accounts, over the boss's store. And so people would come that he gave product to, and he would send them invoices or bills, and they would come and they would pay him. They would come and they would pay him. And in that, when he found out he was going to be fired, he started doing things like, this is what Jesus said. I'm just saying what Jesus said. And so, and he's telling the story about it. And so he says, man, this guy got really worried. He says, I'm too old, too proud to dig. You know, too proud to do this manual labor and too old to dig or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to, when this thing is over, you know, I want to be at least invited in people's homes. I want to have a good relationship.
Right.
And isn't it amazing how many people there that love money and love their job don't love people? It's like optional. Relationships are optional
because
you got your job, your relationships with your job and your money. You say more things about your work coworkers than you do your cool family. And so in the context, this is Jesus talking about it. So this man finds out he's going to be fired. And so this guy starts bringing people in and he tells somebody, this first guy says, like, I'm not using some figures here. This, you can go check the figures out. We'll have the verse for you. Okay. You owe my boss $1,000. I'm going to cut it in half. All you owe, you're going to be, give me $500 and it's paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the guy's like, writing a check out, whatever, check, some kronas or some shekels. And so then another guy comes in, he cuts his bill down, and he's doing all this kind of stuff. And so you're thinking, wow, Jesus, this sounds like a lot of business, folks. This sounds good. But he ends the story with a guy that's complimenting this guy to say he was a shrewd businessman. He understood the time. He understood what was going on, because at least in the end, and there's about to be an end of finances, I believe, as we know it. And in the end, that he said, at least I'd be invited into someone's home. And there's so many people today that they made God their money, their job their money. You haven't built any relationships whatsoever. You're part of the 97% that's been robbing God. And you're going to knock on somebody's door professing to be a believer. And they're going to say, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. I mean, they're not going to know. You know, are you sure? Can we trust you? Are you part of that whole thing? And he said, but if you would have used money to build relationships, use money to the money that God's given you, help people with it, because you never know how long you'll have it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Paul said. I'm not taking from you so you don't have. I'm taking the offering from you so I can give to others that don't have. So when you don't have, then these guys that you loan to now, they'll help you. And so your whole life should be helping folks, just helping them. When God looks at your check register and looks at your how you handled your finances, and when NSA finds out what you're doing, they should be going like, hey, this guy loves God. He gives away 50% of his income towards other people and helping people out or whatever it is. But in the end, by the way, whatever we did with money is truly what we did with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if God is our God and money's not our God, guess what we did with money? We did just like this shrewd young manager. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus commended him. He commended him for doing this because he was a shrewd manager. He used the money that he had at the time and the position and the power he had at the time to love on folks and give people breaks and to help people out. And this stuff about, you know, capitalism's done a lot for a lot of people. But if it ever takes away this component, then it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the component is, as Christians, we are loyal to the kingdom of God, even if it's not even capitalism in our future, because the capital for us is in heaven, the throne room of God. And this is what Jesus said to do. So we need to take care of those who have needs. We need to be known for helping others out. And understand, just like this man knew his job was about to end, a lot of things are about to shift in America. So while you have something, use it for others, not just.
God has called us to be blessed mm-hmm. so that we can be a blessing. That's why it's called currency. It needs to go through you. And I have found, Steve, that God doesn't mind getting it to you if he can get it through you. And that's what we need to understand. We understand that wealth is a resource, not for us to consume, but for us to be able to share and to give and to plant and to sow into the lives of others.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take any of this stuff with you. Just in case you were wondering, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. All this stuff stays here. But what you can take with you are souls. And what would happen if we took some of these resources instead of spending it on ourselves?
And just started giving others.
Giving others and giving to God.
And it's such a powerful perspective as people look at their budgets and they say, okay, hey, this is for savings. You know, this is for investing. Imagine having your budget and saying, okay, this is a specific percentage to say, God, who do you want me to give this to? This is my others percentage. God, who do you want me to bless today? With what I have, there's somebody that God has given me this so that I can give to them.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.